Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Thursday, October 28th, 2021. It is the Steaming Pile of Picks podcast, College Football Week 9, NFL Week 8. I'm your host, Matty Ice, and of course, everyone's favorite handicapper in the whole nation joins me every week. Uncle Steve is here. How are we doing tonight, Uncle Steve?
Doing great, Matty.
Doing great. Recovering from the weekend in Vegas, brother?
I'm fully recovered, I believe.
Very good. Probably, yeah, I would say I recovered, but it wasn't until, I'm going to say, late Tuesday before I was myself again. That's not too bad.
No.
Yeah, so the Steaming Pile of Picks podcast continued our impressive picks last week. Last week's podcast was 6-14. That's a magical. But we all know what our listeners are at then, right, Steve? If we're 30, where are they?
They're about 70.
70%. And I don't care who you're following on Twitter, who you're listening to, they aren't hitting 70%. I just find it hard to believe. I know they're all sitting at 58, 59, maybe the best are 60, but nobody's striking 70% for you. So puts us at 38% the last 3 weeks. Make sure to follow Steve and I on Twitter, @PilePicks. We tweet picks on Saturday afternoons as the beer and tequila start flowing, or in Steve's case, some lemon shandies or whatever starts flowing. When the sun goes down, we tweet those out. We call them the latte picks. And in the last 3 weeks, our latte picks are 1-11. That's not like 30%. That's not 70%. That's 92%. 1-11. Steve gives out his late night moneymaker, which is 33% on the season as well. So give us a follow on a Twitter and listen to the podcast as well. One more piece of business, the Circa Millions NFL contest. We went 4-1 again this week, Steve. 4-1 for the third week in a row.
Yeah, not good enough.
Not quite good enough, but man, we're sitting at 135th place out of 3,200. So not even if we go 5-0, we can't win this quarter. Or make a little surge somehow. I don't know how, but I think it's blind picking is what we're doing. So, correct. All right. Enough of my rambling. Let's go to the picks. As always, we have a guest picker tonight. Tonight's picker is Blake, I assume, from Omaha. Is that correct, Blake?
Nah, I grew up in southern Nebraska, close to Beatrice out there.
Oh, so. Really? Wow. All right. Well, geez, right. We're diverse crowd here for guest pickers. Well, welcome to the show tonight, Blake. I assume Thanks. You're a listener, so you know how this flows.
Absolutely. Excited to be here. Absolutely
does. Good.
Caught you right on the tailwind of a bad week, so you got to be good this week.
Well, jeez, you may have Louise. To take over. Yeah. It was not good, but 30% is kind of when we started this podcast. Steve and I, over the years, as we hit 30%, 32% every week, that's why we did this thing. So we're not disappointing. Well, we are disappointing in our own bank accounts, but we're not disappointing the listeners if they're going against us. So.
That's right.
All right, Blake, we're going to start with you, and I don't care where you go, college, pro, or anything else. So whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I'll try to keep these in order that I gave you earlier. So I'm going to – take my lone college game this week. All right. I got Notre Dame beating the Tar Heels by at least 3.5. Yeah, I like Notre Dame having a lot to play for still. Their lone loss is to Cincy. So, you know, potentially they could still say they got a chance at the playoffs as long as Cincy keeps winning, and maybe you get like a loss from Oklahoma or somebody crazy, but – you know, they're right at that fringe point where they should be still playing real hard, trying to make that championship game. Do I think they deserve to? Nah, yep. Not really. I don't think they got that X factor. You know, they're nothing special in my eyes, but 3.5 points against a Tar Heel team that's not great, having a pretty disappointing season. You know, they started out, I think, ranked 10th overall at the beginning of the season.
They were. Yeah.
And they're 4-3 right now. So I think if Notre Dame gets an early lead, this one turns into a blowout quickly. Yeah. So, you know, Notre Dame, they might be missing a gem. I know Kyle Hamilton's planning on being out. But Sam Howell does have the ability to be dangerous, but I don't think that's going to be too much of a factor. 3.5 is pretty easy to cover on that one.
Very good. Notre Dame minus 3.5. And is that at home? Yeah.
Got it. Yep.
At home.
That should be. Go
Saturday
ahead.
Saturday night game.
Saturday that's NBC. That's big boy game right there.
Yeah, it is. But don't you have to go to like some app to watch that thing? The Peacock app or something?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, gosh. All right. Yeah, I haven't seen Notre Dame play this year because I don't have that app. All right. Steve, where are you going to start at the night?
We're going to start in the MAC. Bowling Green versus Buffalo. We got 14 and 51.5. Bowling Green beat Matty Ice's Minnesota team.
Oh, yes, they did.
But since that, they're 0-4 straight up. Their D's giving up 38 points a game. Their offense scoring about 22 a game. Buffalo, on the other hand, they're won a couple in a row now. Offense is averaging 34 the last four games. D's giving up 23. This game's going over the total of 51.5.
Over 51.5. All right. I got it. I'm going to go to one of my staple teams that I seem to take every week. The UNLV Running Rebels are playing in-state at Reno, Nevada. They are a 20.5-point dog against Nevada. Nevada's a good team. UNLV's not. I get that. They are 0-7. They are not. They're 0-7 on the season. They have not found the win column. But what are they? They're 5-2 against the spread, Steve. 5-2. If I just would have taken UNLV every game this week, I wouldn't, or every game this year, I wouldn't be in the 30%. That would be a lot better. And the last four games, as more than two touchdown dogs, they've only lost by 8, 7, 4, and 7. 4-0 against the spread the last four, as more than two touchdown favorites. Nevada is 5-2 against the spread as well, but they're only 1 for their last three. UNLV is going to keep this one close and going Rebels plus 20.5.
UNLV is so bad they take the field out immediately after they play at that Allegiant
Stadium. They didn't even want that showing for the tour, did they?
We were there less than 12 hours later and that field is gone.
Just cement. You would think just for aesthetics they would keep that field in, but they did not. All right, Blake, where are you going?
All right, I'm going to what I've been paying attention to the most this year with our NFL teams. So it doesn't feel like it, but we're pretty much reaching that midpoint of the season. And I consider this stretch of the next 3 to 4 weeks to be the time when teams come to terms with what they really are, you know, whether they're that contender team, they push for the playoffs, or if they're just going to be a tanker. So you're going to see that trend in kind of my next couple picks here. I'll start with the most obvious one to me, the Buffalo Bills versus the Miami Dolphins. At 13.5 is the line, and I got the Bills covering that easily.
They are I would agree.
Mess.
Yeah, Buffalo just – I think they just had a bye week. I didn't see them last week. But, you know, it's a prime example of just having – I mean, one of the easiest stretch of games that I can imagine with that bye week. You know, now they play the Dolphins, who are terrible, the Jags, who might be worse – and the Jets followed after that. Now, I see the Bills rolling early and the Dolphins struggling to even stop their second team. So 14, 13 and a half, whatever it takes, that's nothing to me.
There you go. Yeah. And that line hasn't moved much. Opened at 13 and a half. It's just kind of hung there. So we got you. Bills covering at home against the lowly Dolphins.
Yes, sir.
A lot of the big favorites are covering too this year, which is rare.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. Last week it was the biggest difference in points all week or all season with the NFL, something like that. And maybe that was the first week of that 3 to 4 week stretch where teams have decided that they're just going to start being terrible or being good, because nothing interesting last week on Sunday.
Nope. And that Steve and I sitting in Vegas, we decided to go with dogs. And that didn't work out very well for us. All right, Steve, you stay in college?
Yep. We're going UCF, Temple. 10.5, 52 on this game. UCF's pretty run-heavy team. Not very good at passing. Turning the ball over a ton this year. Temple doesn't have good rushing D. They gave up 421 yards last week on the ground.
Wow.
And they have no rushing game and an average passing game. This one's going under 52.
You were on a totals just like terror lately.
Gotta try something.
52 unders. Very good. I am going to go with a team that I hate, and that team is Clemson. I thought Vegas had adjusted to their suck last weekend by making them a 4-point dog against Pitt. After they were 0-5 against the spread. So I thought finally Vegas had adjusted enough that we were going to catch the other side. Nope. They're 0-6 against the spread. Got beat by 10 points by Pitt. I had them in a 5-team parlay, and guess what? They were the only team not to cover. So they cost me a lot of money this weekend by not being good. And Florida State, they were horrible in the first 3 weeks of the season, but they won three straight. They are only 3-4 against the spread, but those four losses came in those first four games because they are 3-0 against the spread in the last 3 weeks, including beating North Carolina, who Blake mentioned earlier. They beat them outright as a 17.5 point dog. So I'll tell you what here, fellas, the wrong team is favored. Clemson's 9.5 point favorite. No, the Florida State should be favored in this game. I'm taking the Seminoles on the money line at +280.
That's a real money maker right there.
It is. It is. And I'm pretty confident on that one. Clemson is just full of suck. So I can't even back them. And I'm, they're just going to get beat outright. So,
how many parlay tickets did you cash last week, Maddie?
We took a picture of them on the table, Steve. There weren't very many. None, to be exact.
All right.
Just one. Yeah. Yes, but my couple of wins were money line picks. So I do like to spot those money lines. Might be one of them. We'll see. Back up to you, Blake.
Sounds good. Well, my next, I got the Rams playing at the Texans and another terrible matchup, but I'm not going with the good team on this one. I'm not super confident in their ability to light it up when they don't need to, so I'd rather just take the under at 47.5.
47, basically banking that the Texans just don't score probably, huh?
That's pretty much it. You know, I see the Rams rolling quickly, and, you know, that spread just isn't all that appealing to me with 14. But I don't see the Texans scoring more than two touchdowns. You know, that leaves, 34 points for the Rams to kind of work with.
Yeah.
this should be over by the third or fourth drive for the Rams, and they can move on and look at the Titans next week.
There you go. Yeah, rest up and don't get anyone hurt for that stretch, right?
That's right.
Cool. All right. Rams Texans under 47.5.
You bet.
Steve, how about you?
Well, we're going to go Texas Baylor here. Both teams coming off bye week. Texas, two heartbreaking losses going into the bye week. Had both Oklahoma State, had those games in hand going in the fourth quarter and blew those games. They do score a lot. Baylor, they're 6-1 on the season, but to me that's not the story. I mean, they beat Kansas, they beat Texas State, they beat Texas Southern. I'm going Texas on this one, +3.
Texas +3. Very good. I'm actually seeing 3.5 on my side, so I'm even going to give you the hook.
Well, we'll take it.
All right.
Generous Matt.
Right. It's time of giving. It's all it is, man. Every week. Well, I am going to stay with teams that are 0-6 against the spread. Clemson and now Missouri. Missouri is a 16.5-point favorite at Vanderbilt. Steve's favorite team in the whole nation. Just like Clemson, Missouri just stinks. I mean, they cannot cover a game, no matter who they play. After Kansas hung with Oklahoma last weekend, Missouri and Clemson are the only two left that haven't covered a game this year. Missouri is 3-4 straight up on the season, and they've beat Central Michigan, Southeast Missouri State, and North Texas. Their four losses are against actual Division I football teams. Vanderbilt, yeah, they're Vanderbilt. They're 2-6, both straight up and against the spread. And, man, have they taken some beatings. 62-0 Georgia, 42-0 against Florida, and 23-3 beat down against East Tennessee State. No, I don't like Vandy either, but I sure as hell don't like Missouri. Ofer is Ofer. Vandy is covering 16.5. I just took Vanderbilt, Steve. I did. I really did.
That's a fight for the bottom of the conference on that one.
That is the fight for the seller.
I'm looking online. Guess how low you can buy tickets for that game.
Ooh. Tell me about it.
$6.
About half of that. $3 is your lowest ticket.
$3 to go see Missouri at Vandy. Yeah, I'm going to take
it. They might as well just open the gates and let anybody in.
Yeah. Well, they did that at the Kansas game. The school tweeted out, if anyone isn't doing anything, our gates are open. And it increased it by about 7. So maybe that'll work for Vanderbilt too. So, all right, man, we're flying through these things. Back up to you, Blake.
Sounds good. Well, the next one is probably my sweat of the week. I like all my other picks so far, but this one is pretty variable. So I got the Cowboys beating the Vikings up in Minnesota by 2.5. You know, there's a lot riding on this. It's getting closer to a pick'em, I thought, the last time I saw, just because of the Dak situation, right?
Yeah, I see Minnesota favored 2.5 now.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite the line move. Well, I'll take it still. I think the Cowboys have enough firepower, and this is kind of that week that the Vikings realize that their season's over, whether Dak plays or not. You know, I think the Cowboys' backup is Cooper Rush. I don't really know anything about that guy whatsoever.
I'll tell you what, Blake. They just said I was watching earlier. Mm-hmm. Cooper Rush has not thrown a pass since 2017.
Yeah, a fresh arm, man. That's all that means. Come on, man.
I think the Cowboys could win without him throwing a damn pass because, you know, that running game is as strong as it gets with one of the best O-lines as well. And the Vikes have only beat cake teams so far. They're sitting at 3-3, but they haven't beat anybody with a winning record, I don't believe. So I see them losing that game and then the next four going forward. And that's just the true identity of what that Vikings team's going to be by the end of the year. It's just a below average team.
I agree. The Vikings are 26th against the rush, allowing 130 yards per game. So they may not need that quarterback to throw any passes. Just hand the ball off and win that game. So, and Dallas is 6-0 on the spread. They're the only team in the NFL that's still undefeated against the spread. So,
well, if I get a point and a half, I'll be happy, yeah, man. That makes me a lot easier on that one.
There you go. All right. How about you, Steve? Going pro or staying college?
Nah, we'll stay college.
Good idea.
going to Michigan State. Ooh. 4.5 and 50.5. Line hasn't moved at all. These teams are mirror image of each other. Offense, Michigan averages 448 yards a game. Michigan State averages 461 yards a game. Michigan averages 37 points a game. Michigan State averages 34 points a game. Defenses, little difference here. Michigan only gives up 310, whereas Michigan State gives up 430 points per game. Michigan gives up 14. Michigan State gives up 18. I think this is Harbaugh's best team since he's been there. I'm going Michigan -4.5 on the road.
Wow. Believing in the khakis, huh?
Yep.
All right.
Stifler's going to win this one.
Wow. All right. I'm going to go with Iowa at Wisconsin. I was looking through games to pick, and I said, let me get this straight. The number 9 team in the country is more than a field goal dog to a 4-3 team, 1-3 against the spread at home, tied for last in the Big Ten. Okay. On the other side, Iowa. Well, I realized that Purdue game was ugly. Like, that thing was – like, Iowa never stood a chance from jump. But Iowa is still 5-2 against the spread. They're 2-0 on the road. And once again, the wrong team is favored. I would not back Wisconsin spread or straight up in this game if it was – doesn't matter. Hawkeyes are going to win this thing. Taking them on the money line at +150. And that +150 tells me Vegas doesn't believe in that spread either. So that's who I got. How about you, Blake? Got another one?
I got one last one. It's a bit complicated, that's for sure, with everything that's happened since we started talking. going over to the World Series baseball, actually.
Whoa.
Been enjoying my time the past two nights watching games, but anybody have like a money line on this one right now? What I'm seeing, or like a run line, my most recent showing that the Braves are favored in this game.
Let's see. I will go to the
I don't think Vegas knows what to do with this one on Friday. No. It's going to be tough. A lot of different factors playing in, just moving to the other site. It's going to be bad weather. I'm going to actually be out in Georgia during these stretch of games. So it's going to be nasty weather. And I think both teams are just getting used to each other a little bit. But I think on Friday, I'm seeing the Braves having a little bit of advantage with that bad weather. They have the pitching advantage. Ian Anderson's way better than Luis Garcia. So I like the Braves. I'd rather just take a money line when it comes to baseball. Run lines are iffy, but so far it's just been blowouts. So, you know, it's hard to say what what's a better route there. And I know I message you guys if it's still available. What I like in this series is the Braves winning this 4-2 overall.
4-2 overall.
Yeah, so they already got the one away. I think they're going to drop one at home. I think it's going to be the Saturday game more than likely. I like the Braves winning on Friday and then on Sunday as well when it kind of comes down to their last home game. It's hard to lose that one. And then they have to just pick up that one more away game when they go back to Houston. So,
gotcha. Braves 4-2 is plus 400 is what I've got. And the money line, the run line, everything is Braves minus 108, Astros minus 102. So
it's pretty much a pickup. Yeah,
it is a pickup. Don't know, man. They have no idea. No idea. Very good. All right. So we're gonna put that down for you. And I don't know if I'll watch it.
The Braves are just America's team this year compared to – I mean, those Astros, I can't stand watching them. They're like the new Yankees is what it feels like.
Very good. Man. All right. I'm going to watch it just because of you, Blake.
Thank you, Maddie.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Steve. Assume you're going NFL for one pick, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll drop one pick. We'll go to the Colts and Titans. We got – Tennessee favored by one. Over-under is 49.5. Colts run defense is very soft. Wentz, we watched that game and kind of were in awe of how bad he really looked. Was it the weather? Maybe. But he's looked like that all year. Tennessee's got Derrick Henry. That's all I need. We're going Tennessee minus one.
Tennessee minus one. Yeah, and Jonathan Taylor may not play. And, yeah, it seems like a strange spread to me. But we got you at Tennessee minus one. All right, I'm going to close our night out unless anybody's got anything else. I'm going to go to the NFL, and I'm going to go Steelers at Browns. Steelers won two straight. We're all very, very well informed that Mike Tomlin is not going to USC. Some of the best comments I've ever seen from a coach when asked about whether he's going to a game or another team or not. He just basically said there's not a booster that has a checkbook big enough to get him there. So,
but was he wrong? Is that the question?
I cannot believe they asked Mike Tomlin. I mean, a Super Bowl coach, and I'm gonna go back into USC. And nah. Anyway, the Steelers, yeah, they won two straight, but they beat the Broncos, which I know everybody thinks they were good, but they're not. The Russell Wilson-less Seahawks by 3 points. Browns have not been looking good as of late either. They've lost two of their last three, and they've only beat the Broncos. But this is a gambling show, and Pittsburgh is 2-4 against the spread. Cleveland is 4-3. I got to take the better team here against the spread, and that is the Browns. They're covering 3.5 at home against the Steelers. All right, Blake, any parting words, any bonus picks or anything like that?
I don't think I got any bonus picks for you guys, but I do appreciate being on the show. I love listening every week, so I'm glad to be a part of it. Hopefully I can do better than what you did last week. I'm not looking for a 30% rate on this one. No way. I can't see me losing that many. So.
Oh, man. The last guy that said that was Ron from Council Bluffs, and the guy went 1-5. So.
Oh, no.
How about you, Steve? You got anything?
No, sir.
No, sir. Well, Blake, Steve's going to find a way to get you some Steaming Pile of Picks garb, and we will be going to the next week to see what's going on.
Oh, yeah. I got the koozie on my beer right now.
You already got the koozie on your beer? Well, that's good.
We'll get the shirt down at Deer Camp here in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
There you go.
This is the year.
Yes, it is. To get the big one, right?
Yep.
You bet.
Yeah. Good. All right. Well, as they say in the investment world, past performance is not always a guarantee of future results. But as they say in the real world, when you step in it, if it smells like it and it looks like it, it's probably it. Good night.